The authority of the Bible. We all know that every Christian, including me, quotes the Bible to confirm whatever he believes. We also know that beliefs which contradict each other can all be defended with Scripture. So what can we trust? Paul tells us that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And also that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This being the case, we know that we cannot just lift a passage from the Bible and maintain that what we are reading is necessarily a literal statement of fact because the Bible says so. Jesus himself said that he was going away so that he could send us the Spirit of truth from the Father, who would be in us and who would guide us into all truth. He also said, when questioned by a lawyer as to what he must do to inherit eternal life, "How do you read the Scriptures?" indicating that there is more than one way to read them and that we may not necessarily be reading them the way they are meant to be read. Anyone with any knowledge of the history of the Bible knows that we do not have any of the Scriptures as they were originally written, that there are countless translations, and that they were all written and translated by man, even if under the inspiration of God, as all church people are so fond of quoting. But if we look at that verse in 2 Timothy, we see that the word "is" was not in the Scripture, being translated here, and therefore would read, "all Scripture given by inspiration of God," indicating that all Scripture may not be given by inspiration of God. The church is still arguing about what books of the Bible and what translations of those books are valid. This should tell us that we really do need the Spirit of truth to guide us in our search for truth. Because the church so completely convinced me that if I did not interpret Scripture as I was taught from the pulpit, I was sure to be deceived and in error, it was many decades before I was confident enough to trust that still small voice of the Spirit inside me to guide me into truth. When I was brave enough to pray the prayer that I would listen to that voice and go where it led me, even if I had to go alone, I began to understand the Scriptures in ways I had never been taught. I began to really believe that nothing could separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, not even entertaining views that this Christian church at large considers to be error. I had always been taught that the Bible must be interpreted literally because it is the Word of God and infallible, particularly the King James Version, even though it often contradicts itself. I had to believe that God never wanted sacrifices and sin offerings, Psalm 46, and yet also believe that he required the sacrifice of his Son as an offering for our sins in order to appease his wrath against us, whom he had begotten of his own will and for his pleasure. Ephesians 1:15, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I pondered deeply how it could be pleasurable to create us and then send us to hell to burn forever if we didn't hear or understand the truth that we must accept this sacrifice of God's Son and say the right prayer that would ensure our place in heaven. I knew in my heart that I couldn't bring a child into the world that I knew I would have to condemn to everlasting punishment. And yet I was asked to believe that God would do that and still be a much better parent than I could ever hope to be. And anyway, the Bible itself says that all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, and that to know God is life eternal. The long and the short of it is that we will never find any peace, security, or knowledge of God in right doctrine. It is not the written word, the letter, that gives life, but rather the word spoken to us by the Spirit of truth inside each of us. These are the words which Jesus said are spirit and life. We might memorize the entire Bible and yet never receive life. But when we hear the words of the Bible and words which are not written down in the Bible, spoken to us by the Spirit of truth inside, that is the fulfillment of Jesus' words, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, which abundantly satisfy our thirst for the truth." I encourage each of you to begin to trust the inspiration of God inside you to guide you into truth, rather than the inspiration of God inside another to tell you what the truth is. This doesn't mean that you don't read the Bible or read and listen to other people. I wouldn't be writing for this website if I believed that. It does mean that you become consciously aware of how you are being affected inside by what you are reading or hearing. Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Remember that God is one, not three, and not three persons, as we are so fond of singing. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man. God himself came into the world in the form of Jesus and left this world to bring to our awareness his presence in us as the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit if you prefer. To bear witness to the truth is the reason he came and the reason he went and came again in each of us, though most of us are still unaware of that second coming. He is still bearing witness to the truth in each of us, but we must become aware that the voice of God is always speaking. When we listen and learn to recognize that voice within, we are of the truth and need have no fear of deception. Certainly, we may sometimes become dull of hearing, generally because we have already decided what we're going to hear. But the Holy Spirit is always there saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Before we get too excited about depending upon the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, let's count the cost. Luke 14:28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" That is the subject of the contemplation titled, "The Cost of Knowing Truth."